Amen. Acts chapter 10. This is a season of resurrection. I grew up in the church, and the emphasis was always on the cross, and rightly so. We believe in the cross, but the cross without the resurrection is incomplete. And when you go through the Gospels, you'll find out that they talk consistently in the book of Acts about the cross and the resurrection, that they are a team, that they go together, and they're necessary together. Now, in Romans chapter 10, when Paul spoke to the church at Rome, he said, "I would that all Israel would be saved." His heart was for people to be saved. He said, "I'd even sacrifice my life if all Israel could be saved." Well, he's going to go on to talk in Romans 10 about the resurrection. He's not going to mention the cross. Now, it's not that the cross was not important. The cross was the route to the resurrection. The cross brought him into the 3 days of struggle and of overcoming and of settling our issues. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. So he took our sin, and 3 days later he rose from the dead. Now, I know you don't believe and think and have maybe thought about it, but he wasn't sitting in the tomb for 3 days just waiting for the time to pass. Acts chapter 2 gives us some information of what was happening. And he was making full payment and raising up in great victory, not for his benefit, but for ours. Now, in chapter 10, when Paul talked about this, he said, starting with, he's talking about righteousness. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. You're righteous because of what he did. Righteous is the nature of God. You have the nature of God. Because you have the nature of God, you're in right standing. Because you're in right standing, you choose right living. Right standing prompts you to choose right living. So he's talking about righteousness, possessing the nature of God. And he said in first, it doesn't come by law. Now, that was where the Jews were. You obey all the law, then you're right with God. The truth is, and Paul points this out in Galatians, you can't obey all the law. You've already figured that out, right? And he said, righteousness is going to come by faith, and that's in verse 6. Righteousness, which is of faith, speaks on this wise. Say not in your heart, who shall ascend into heaven that bring Christ down from above, and who shall descend into the deep that is to bring up Christ again from the dead? What does it say now? What does righteousness by faith, though, as opposed to righteousness by law? Righteousness by law says you obey all the laws, every law, every time. You make no mistake ever, and you can be righteous. Well, the scripture goes on to point out, and you can't do it. You've already figured that out, right? This is righteousness by faith. It's righteousness that comes to you because of what Jesus did, because not only his death on the cross, but his resurrection. And then he says, what does righteousness say? That's in verse 8. The word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. So faith always comes to our heart and is spoken through our mouth. It's activated through our mouth through what we say. And here's what he says. Now watch the wording. Verse 9. If you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You notice the cross is not mentioned? If you shall believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, that God hath raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Righteousness comes by your faith. You are like God because of your acceptance of Jesus as Lord. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. That doesn't minimize the cross. It adds the resurrection, which is necessary. It's the cross and the resurrection. I've said all the time, many times, we're going to kneel at the cross, we're going to stand at the empty tomb, and then we're going to sit in the upper room. And that's the instructions he gave the disciples when he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Ghost. And that was the Holy Ghost which came and lived in them because of the new birth, and now they are the righteousness of Christ. They were hiding from the Jews, and he came through the door, and he blessed them and said, receive the Holy Ghost. That's the new birth. Now, when you receive the Holy Ghost, he comes to live in you, and that's one of the great benefits of what God has done for us. I'm not walking alone. I'm not trying to figure things out. I'm dependent. I actually like being dependent. I know people who like being independent, but I just assume you do it and I'll follow. That works fine for me. And so he told them to wait in the upper room. Now watch this. The Holy Ghost was in them through the new birth. Now he said, wait till you be full of the Holy Ghost. You receive the Holy Ghost. And it's the Holy Ghost coming upon you, or up and on. up and on. In other words, he covers your entire being, and he's there up and on you so that what's in you will manifest through you, so you can be of value to your own life and to the life of those that you're in resonant with. Now, it's not too hard to be valuable to other people. I tell you, we've lived on acreage for most of our life, but the first year and a half when Wayne got out of military, we lived on an avenue. And if you thought that was an avenue, it was really a road. But they called it an avenue. And over time, the man next door, he cursed like a sailor. I've never heard such. They were nice people, but they obviously weren't Christians. And so we would go over where he'd sit outside and say, "Hello, how are you?" You know, and then 5 minutes, and that's all your ears would stand. But over time, they started going to church because we went to church. Now, that's amazing. I never spoke to them specifically about, see, your influence, the righteousness you have and what you have is going to influence the people around you. Well, then later, they started going to church, and it's a good thing they did. She died while he was hunting. He came home, and she was dead in her recliner, and it wasn't too long. I know he'll never live without her. They were very, very close, and he didn't, and he went on. And he drove himself to the hospital and died in the emergency lane there at the emergency room before he died, before he ever got inside. But I found out that he had accepted Christ, and they had gone to this little church in Polk City. And I never preached to them. See, what you have in you flows out of you, flows through. You are the righteousness of God, and you are of influence. Well, the people next door, she came and asked me where we went to church, and I told her, and she said, "We're thinking we'll go to this little church down here," and it was just proximity. It was close to us, and it was a Lutheran church. She said, "Can I go to the Lutheran church?" If they'd done anything at all, that would have been a blessing. I said, "Certainly you can go to the Lutheran church." And then I see, you are of influence. You are the righteousness of God. You have God in you. The Holy Ghost is in you, and you're of influence everywhere you go. You don't have to be preacher, although sometimes God will lead you to preach or to say or to speak. Sometimes all you have to do is be present, and what you have in you flows out of you. You have the Holy Ghost in you because you're born again, and he comes up and on you, fills you full, and you're of influence. Well, 5 or 6 houses down, a lady I didn't know came one day and knocked on my door. Joa was a baby, and she said, "I quit my job, but they desperately need me to come back one day to train my associate, to train the people they hired." And she said, "I was wondering, I see you go to church, if you'd mind keeping my baby for the day." Well, now how can I say no to that? Now I have 2 babies for the day. Well, it worked out fine. I thought, how amazing. I think of that every now and then. How amazing. Because I went to church, because the other people, my neighbors, trusted me and were influenced. She was influenced, and she lived way down the street. So you're of influence because the Holy Ghost is in you. Because he's in you, and he comes upon you and flows out of you, and you do influence whether you speak or don't speak. Now, if God leads you to speak, don't be silent. Mm-hmm. But you don't always have to speak. Sometimes you just have to smile, you know? Now, Romans 10 doesn't mention the cross, but the cross and the empty tomb go together. They work together. The cross without the resurrection is ineffective. Now, the Sadducees and the Pharisees were against. Their disciples in Acts went preaching the resurrection, and that was the one message they didn't want to hear. They killed him. They wanted him dead. They had to maneuver to get him killed, and that's the way they wanted it. And when the disciples went everywhere preaching the resurrection, that he is alive. He is alive. The one you killed is alive. They kept arresting them and chasing them and following them and causing trouble. Now look at Acts. I want to show you. We will get to healing. Believe me or not, we will. But this is the message in Acts chapter 2. Peter's speaking on the day of Pentecost. And in verse 23, talking about Jesus being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. Determinate counsel, in other words, Jesus being delivered to be crucified was the plan. That was the plan of God. One translation says the deliberate and well thought out plan of God. So it wasn't accidental. "You have taken by wicked hands, have crucified and slain whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible he should be holden by death." Do you see, you have the crucifixion and the resurrection side by side. It says, By wicked hands you have crucified and slain whom God raised up. Now, if you go chapter 3, verse 13, they're preaching in the temple after the man at the gate called Beautiful was raised up. He couldn't walk, and they came back, and Peter and John, and raised him up, and he could walk. And he went walking and leaping and praising God, and I love that. I'll be glad for you to walk and leap, and I'll applaud. Is that all right? That's just my thinking. And so, here's what was said. Verse 13, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murder to be granted to you. You kill the Prince of Life, whom God raised up. You are not going to find the singular message of the cross in the book of Acts, but maybe one time. They didn't preach cross. They preached cross and resurrection. And I was raised in church, and all I knew is Jesus died on the cross for your sins. God so loved the world, John 3:16. And of course, at a certain age, they memorized the Roman road to salvation. Well, kill the Prince of Life whom God raised up. I want you to see the duality of the message. It's one message in two parts. Now, if you go over to chapter 4, verse 2, talking about the Sadducees, see, they wanted this message squashed. Don't talk about the resurrection. But if you read 1 Corinthians 15, Jesus had appeared, it says, to over 500 people. So there's a lot of people, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, are hearing that he's alive. We saw him. Mm-hmm. Makes them very unhappy. Now, in chapter 4, verse 2, being grieved, talking about Peter and John, the disciples, that they preached through Jesus the resurrection of the dead. That message they wanted, shut that up. Don't tell that. We killed him. We wanted him dead. But see, God raised him up. And it is a part of what we need to walk in, that he was crucified for us and raised for us. And we'll find out what the resurrection did for us in part. We can't cover it all today. Now look at verse 10, chapter 4. Be it known unto all you and to all the people of Israel by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. The message is always declared in duality. Now, the only thing I knew about resurrection, chapter 5, verse 29, we're not going through the whole book, maybe, was we had this cardboard tomb. I assume it looked like cardboard. They made this tomb, you know, and at Easter, and then Jesus would, the door would open, the rock would roll back, and he'd step out. Were you at those Easter services?
Yeah.
That's the only time I remember there being any real emphasis on resurrection. But death without resurrection is ineffective. There has to be death and resurrection. And the full message, I wondered if we would tell people, do you know Jesus died for your sins and was raised up for you and is alive for you today? If we begin to tell the message in its entirety, if we would make a bigger difference. I don't know, but what did I tell you?
29.
Verse 33. Oh, that's some. Well, look at 4:33. Great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection. They were giving witness to the resurrection. Now look at 5:12. By the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with Solomon in Solomon's porch, and believers were the more added to the church. Multitudes of women and men. And what was the message that was being preached that added so many believers? He died, he was resurrected. That was the message. Well, look at 5:12. I've got my Bible all marked up so much I can't read the marking. Look at chapter 10. And this is the message of Peter at the house of Cornelius. And he said, verse 39, we are witnesses of all things which he did in the land of the Jews in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree, him God raised up. It's very, very consistent in Acts, extremely consistent. Now look at chapter 13, verse 26. I don't know. I was raised at the foot of the cross, and I sat there with everybody else. Isn't that what you did? Well, maybe not. But anyway, thank goodness for the cross. We're not minimizing the cross today. We're telling the full message. Now, verse 26. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, whosoever among you fears God, to you is the word of salvation sent. For they dwell at Jerusalem, the rulers, because they knew him not, yet the voices of the prophets which are read every Sabbath, they were fulfilled. But though they leaned on because of death, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree, laid him from the sepulchre in the sepulchre, and God raised him from the dead. Now, how many times have we read that? 6 or 7 already. I think we need to realize how important this was, how redundant, how repetitive the message was. He died, God raised him. He died, God raised him. He died, God raised him. Well, we knew that. It's not that we didn't know that, it's that we don't usually say that. We say, do you know Jesus died on the cross for your sins? And so, and one man said, just sit behind the cross. Don't kneel in front of the cross. Sit behind the cross. You might see the stripes on his back for your healing. Amen. Now look at chapter 17. It's over and over again. It's extremely redundant. He died. He was raised up. He died. He was raised up. Verse 3, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again. That's amazing, isn't it? Yeah. And that was the message that Paul carried, without mentioning the crucifixion, in Romans 10, to the church at Rome. Jesus was raised up. Now, we carry, he died, and he was raised up. Now, when Mary came through the Garden of Eden, I think I tried to put her there last week. When she and the women came to anoint Jesus' body, what was the message of the angels? He's not here. He's risen. Very repetitive. He's not here. He's risen. That's the message that we need to carry. Now, why is that important to us? And Isaiah 53 gives us the clarity of that message. We quote that to you often. And it says, he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Isaiah 53:5. And it gives us three things that resurrection, death and resurrection, brought to us. And one was, he was wounded for transgressions and bruised for iniquities. Well, if you go to Hebrews 9:12, you're going to see that through his resurrection, our sins were blotted out, remitted, or canceled. That's the most marvelous gift of death and resurrection. When you mail your electric bill, you know, $162.53, is that right? Close. It's called a remittance. You don't have to do it one time. Now, there was a lady, she couldn't pay her bill, and she, Wayne worked for the city for years, and she wanted to find out if they would take half payment and give her 2 more weeks. See, she intended to pay, and so Wayne contacted them, and he sent me up with a half payment that someone else had paid for her and made the arrangements and gave her 2 more weeks. See, she didn't want to miss making the remittance. But the remittance was made for you. The blood was shed for you. And Jesus, it says in chapter 9 of Hebrews. Let me find that and read that to you before. Don't lose Isaiah. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption. He obtained eternal redemption. He attained eternal redemption. Redemption was that he died and he was resurrected. He died and he is alive. He died and he is alive. And the one thing he first gives you is your sins are gone. Didn't you know that song? Y'all don't know any old?
Yes.
Gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Buried in the deepest sea. Yes, that's good enough for me. I will live eternally. Praise God. My sins are G-O-N-E, gone. Right? You knew that?
Yeah.
Miss Darcy's in heaven. Miss Darcy and Miss Melinda's the only one. Miss Melinda's the only one to sing with me. To know that song. When courses came out, they were primitive. Now they have a little more dignity. But it's the primitive ones you remember. And I don't know why this has nothing to do with anything except that you're here. For a week, couple weeks, I've been singing, Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up in the sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And as a Savior passed that way, and I wondered, I said, Wayne, what does that mean to you? He said, and if I find out what it means to me and the Lord, I'll tell you what it was. But see, you're in the family. You believe he died. You know he was resurrected. And now you can sit in the upper room and receive the fullness of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost that's in you. And what a blessing that is. That's a blessing of death and resurrection, that he came to live in you. Now he comes up on you. He covers you and enables you to represent the power of God. Jesus said in John 4, the anointing, the Holy Ghost, the anointing came upon me. And then he talked about the works that he was going to do through the anointing, which is the Holy Ghost. So you have the Holy Ghost in you, and you can have the Holy Ghost on you to do the work of God. And when you do the work of God, the message always starts with what? He was crucified, and he rose in 3 days. Now, Isaiah was wounded for transgressions, bruised for iniquities. And the first thing that means to us, it says he put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. That's 9:26, Hebrews 9:26. He put away sin. He canceled it. Now, do you know why he did that? Look at Isaiah 43. See, there are some blessings of death and resurrection. There's some blessings of knowing him, of walking with him, of believing in him, of accepting him as Savior. And in Romans 10, it's when you talk to people, you tell them he's the resurrected Lord. That's the essence there, the resurrected Lord. Lord is one supreme in authority, one you yield to. He's the resurrected Lord. Now in Hebrews 9, you have eternal redemption, and in verse 26, it says your sins have been put away. If you go to Isaiah 43, it tells you why. Marvelous, marvelous verse of Scripture. Verse 25, I am he that blots out your transgressions. You see, centuries before it was finished, the shot was called. I am he, Isaiah 43:25, that blots out your transgressions for mine own sake. He didn't do it for you. Not primarily. He did it because of his heart of love. And he said, I will not remember your sin. Now, your kid comes to you and he wants a new pair of tennis shoes, and now they're almost the kind he wants, and almost $200. Is anybody still buying kid tennis shoes? Do you know that they're very expensive? Yeah, mm-hmm. And so you say, I can't do that today. And his little face, they just droop. It's amazing how sad they can be over tennis shoes. Well, his sadness makes you so very sad. You wish you could do it today, but you just have to save your money and get ready to spend $122.33 on tennis shoes. He don't want the $40 ones. He wants the kind everybody's wearing. And when you see his face, who's the saddest, you or him? It's me. It's me. I'm really sad that we can't do that, that we can't do that today. And it says, Jesus forgave you for his own sake. To see you lost and going to hell broke his heart. Yes. He couldn't stand that. Yes. And he said, for my sake, I'm doing this because you need me to, and I'm doing this because I delight in mercy. That's in the final chapter of Micah. He says, God delights in mercy. One translation says, mercy is his specialty. Uh-huh. Is that nice? That's really nice. And so he's doing this for God so loved the world. His love was expressed in his mercy. And he did this because it satisfied his heart. To rescue you satisfied his heart. It's an amazing, amazing thing. He said, put me in remembrance, let us plead together. So it's okay to remind the Lord, to talk to him about your dilemma, and to thank him for your solution. Well, He blotted out your sins. Now, you may look at your countertop in the kitchen. It's got stuff on it. You want that blotted out, don't you? And you get your rag and your Clorox or whatever you use, your Lysol or whatever, and you spray that real good, and you wipe that good. You want all those spots out. And that's how God thought of you. We got to help her get rid of all those spots. We got to get rid of all those spots. We got to get rid of all those spots. Oh, what a wonderful thing that was. Now the Holy Ghost that's in you, that's another blessing of the resurrection, that Holy Ghost, when he appeared to the upper room, the disciples were afraid. They were hiding in the upper room. And Jesus said to them, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." Now that was the Holy Ghost in the new birth. When you're born again, the Holy Ghost comes to live in you, and he has purpose. Yes. He's not just there for the ride. He has purpose. Yes. Jesus said, "My peace I'll give you." His peace, that which gave him peace, he's going to give to you, and he's going to give it because the Holy Ghost is in you, and he's going to bring you perfect peace as you walk with God. What a benefit that is. And Isaiah says that he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. Matthew 11 calls it rest, and one translation calls it quiet. Is that amazing? What a blessing. The Holy Ghost is in you, and he's enabling you to be at rest, to have quiet. Now, if you have a house full of company, heaven forbid. But you may like company. And they're there, and they're there maybe 2 or 3 days, and then they go home, and suddenly you think, I love quiet. And I don't have to read with the TV on. Some people require that. That won't work for me. You have to find what works for you. I like quiet. And if Wayne is picking out our music, he's noisy. I'm going to go to the other room. I'm going to shut the French doors and then go in there and think, peace, quiet, rest. And the peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Jesus said, I'm going to give you the very peace I have. That ought to be enough for you, right? See, the death and resurrection brought you these benefits. It brought you the redemption that remitted your sins, that blotted your sins out. There's no record of your sins at all. And it brought you a life that's always quiet. Listen, do you hear anything? That's good, isn't it? We like that. Now, people like noise. That's okay with me. It's not okay for me. You do your thing. We went on vacation, and the TV was turned up. I went through. There's nobody sitting in there, and I turned the TV down. And then next thing I know, the TV was turned up, and there's nobody in there, so I turned the TV down. We spent the whole first day of our vacation, TV up, TV down. They like noise. I like quiet. But if you require peace, it comes through the death and the resurrection. It's available. Amen. And there's no record of your sins. So they've been blotted out. The remittance was made by Jesus, and it's over. It's just absolutely over. It's an amazing, amazing thing. Now, one gentleman, a preacher of the gospel, did something he shouldn't have done. And he resigned. He resigned the ministry. He's not going to do that anymore. And his friends kept saying, "No, you can't do that. You can't do that. Let's get back and do some preaching, and you'll see how much God still anoints you," and so forth. And he wouldn't do it. And they aggravated him till one man said, "Just come preach at my church just one time." He thought, if I can get him in the pulpit, he'll remember that God loves him and God called him to preach, and he'll remember that his mistake is erased. I don't know what he did, and it doesn't matter what he did. So he pulled up. He told this story. He pulled up in the parking lot behind the church going to preach for his friend. And as he stepped out of the car, he heard a voice that said, "Now, what was it you said you did?" Because God never remembers. He heard two voices. The first voice said, "See, every voice has to be matched by the word of God." The first voice said, "I can't believe you're going to preach after what you did." Instantly, you know, this is not God, because God doesn't remember. What a blessing to have peace, to have that kind of forgiveness that remits and blots out, to have the Holy Ghost in. And it says He teaches us all things. So I don't have to be real smart. I just have to sit and say, Lord, bring me the spirit of wisdom, revelation, knowledge of You, the eyes of Your understanding, enlightened. That's Ephesians chapter 1. And stand on the fact that He gives me the Holy Ghost to give me wisdom. Now, here's what you should remember. Sometimes we ask for something that's a 10th grade question, and we're just in the 5th grade. And so God can't really explain it to you because you're too dumb yet. You get that? I always hold that question. I know eventually I'll get it. Eventually I'll get it. I hold it in the presence of God. I'm going to understand that. I'm going to get that question. Isaiah said, Thou will keep him in perfect peace. What would that be?
Right.
Have you ever baked anything that was imperfect?
Mm-hmm.
Just a little bit?
Yeah.
At our house, we all say, well, that wasn't quite like Mama made. If we want it like Mama made it, I just put Suzanne on it. She went over every week and sat with my mother, and that was a wonderful thing for them and for my mother. And she knows things that I have written on a piece of paper, but I can't quite juggle them. Like, do you have some of those recipes, like what Mama did?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, Suzanne does that better than I do, like Mama did. What would be perfect peace? Now, perfect peace for you may not be perfect peace for me, but perfect peace would be when I got the answer to my question. I know that. I know that. I understand that, Lord. I understand that. Thank You. Thank You. I understand that. And it would be when the TV's off and it's quiet. That's part of your redemption. It's part of your redemption. Said, I like noise. Go ahead. Have at it. God thought peace was a good idea. I just want to tell you that. Just in case. He thought peace was a really good idea. Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on Thee. When the darkness comes and shadows fall, He gives you perfect peace. My daddy was a church musician. I can sing on key, but I'm not really a singer. But I like that song. Thou will keep him in perfect peace. Peace is a product of your redemption. It's a product of the cross and the resurrection that are blended and working together. And that remitted all your sins, so there's no record of your sins. Now, when you come to the cross and you accept Christ for the first time, you declare Him your risen Lord. You say, you who was crucified are now my risen Lord. And when you make Him that was crucified your risen Lord, then the Holy Ghost dwells inside and He's there to teach you and to ensure that you walk in perfect peace. And it says He'll bring things to your remembrance. And I just want to give you a hint. That's more important today than it was last year. Or 5 years ago. I'll ask one between the two of us. I said, do you remember so-and-so and so-and-so? And he said, no. I thought, have you ever stood in front of the refrigerator, opened the door, and you don't know why you're standing there? See, the Holy Ghost is inside. He's the spirit of remembrance. He helps you to remember. He brings you to peace. He ensures you that your sins are gone. They are blotted out.
Amen.
We should be real happy at Easter. I don't know if Jesus will come out of the cardboard tomb here. I don't remember that He ever did that. But it doesn't make any difference. He's seated at the right hand of the Father to ensure that everything that came to you comes to you because you believe it and you ask for it, you receive it. You hear it, you believe it, you say it. I have perfect peace. I have perfect peace. You know it doesn't take much. Somebody took the parking place you thought you were waiting on.
Yeah.
And you lost your peace. Or you had a 2 o'clock appointment, and it's already 2:45, and you lost your peace. Wayne and I were waiting to finalize some paperwork, and I was just singing. I'm not paying attention. I'm just singing to myself. And the man that was we were waiting on came by, and he said, I didn't know you could sing. I said, well, I don't really, but I can stay on key. But when I sing hallelujah to the King, sing hallelujah to the King, sing hallelujah, oh, sing hallelujah, I'm latching into, I'm tapping into the peace that He provided through His death and resurrection. Is that amazing?
Yes.
He said, it's my peace, John 14, my peace I give you. Same peace He had, I have. Well, some days you can't tell that. You know? You think, when Wayne retired, I didn't realize it was happening, but he drove all the time. I didn't drive. So 20-something years went by, and I have never driven. It's just amazing. And guess what? When you've never driven, he won't let me drive because he didn't think and I kept saying, I have a driver's license. I just got it renewed. They said I could drive to 2033. And he laughed. He said, I drove two or three times during a hurricane because we were at my sister's. She had electricity and we didn't, and so that was real important. That's the only time I've driven in the last 23 years. What happens? You get used to being without. You just get used to not smiling. You get used to being mad quick. And you don't take advantage of what the death and resurrection has brought to you. Now, it brought you healing. By His stripes, we were healed. You can get so used to disease that you don't stand fast for what's already paid for. It's paid for. It belongs to you. Some department store called and said, someone just paid for you a new quilt. Well, a man called the other day and he said, Mrs. Cumby, I don't answer my phone if I don't know the number or the name doesn't come up. Do not. So if I don't answer you, call back and say, this is Reba, this is Reba, this is Reba. I don't answer. But he said, Mrs. Cumby. And so I answered and he said, did you know your security system is 28 years old? Okay, I got it. He's a salesman. We've got that. He's a salesman. And I said, and it's working perfectly, so we're not going to replace it at this time, and thanks for calling. And I hung up. And then I thought, well, was that rude? Then maybe that was rude. Well, that was truthful. That was honest. And there is a word from the Lord that's in your heart that needs to come out of your mouth to work. Life and death is in the power of the
tongue.
And when your tongue says, my knee is killing me, I don't have any knee problems. That's why I use that example. Or my back hurts. Or I think I have a temperature. What do you think I'm getting? You know, you've already turned loose of what's paid for. You've turned loose of it. So what I do when I want to say the wrong thing, I say, Wayne! And let him do the talking so that I don't put my body in jeopardy by my words. You see that? By His stripes. Now look at the 103rd Psalm. Are y'all getting this?
Yes, ma'am.
Death and resurrection brought you the new birth, the Holy Ghost in you to teach you, to bring things to your remembrance, peace beyond understanding and healing power. At least those four things. They are yours. They are yours. They are yours. Now there are other things, but we can't cover everything today. 103rd Psalm says, bless the Lord, O my soul, verse 2, forget not all His benefits, and that's plural. We were looking, my mom and daddy babysat for a missionary that lived in the States but had to go overseas some. And daddy was in college, and I was 5 years old, and they would live in the house. It was a huge two- or three-story house, and take care of their three children if he had to go overseas. Well, I did not know his story, but I found out long after when I was an adult, that he had a famous sermon. We haven't found it, but we did find another one, and I was listening to part of it, and I was like, it was magnificent. It was magnificent. And I found out he was denominational and came into Pentecost. And then he surrendered his life to the spread of the gospel around the world. And he was gone a lot. Well, he was hard to listen to. He's a man with a deep bass voice, you know, growled kind of. But we listened to it. And he said the most phenomenal thing, and I should have written it down so I could quote it to you, but he said, what the church has done, they've turned loose of the fullness of God's blessings. He might not have known that as a denominational man, but when he came into Pentecost, he began to realize there are things that should be mine that I didn't realize. That's what I'm telling you. Death and resurrection brought you healing power, peace beyond understanding, total forgiveness and remission of sins. And here it is. Who forgives all your iniquities? You see that says all, verse 3? Who heals all thy diseases? You see all thy diseases? How many diseases can he heal? Okay, you go through the Gospels. Jesus healed the leper. Then he healed the paralytic. Then he healed the blind man. And then he healed the child of the that had seizures. And if you go through the Gospel, there isn't any area of disease that he didn't touch. Not any. Every area of disease was touched by his hand. Now, if you go through Deuteronomy 28, it names a bunch of diseases, and you can't read them and know what they are. You can make some guesses, and I've got a sheet that somebody studied out, but it doesn't matter to me what they are. But my favorite disease listed in Deuteronomy 28 is mildew. Now, we don't know what that is. We don't really care, but how would you like to say, what happened to Mildred? She mildewed. But the body part, interestingly enough, that's mentioned, it also mentions madness, blindness, so it includes mental distress. But the body part that's specifically mentioned in Deuteronomy 28 is the knee. I think that's most interesting. It's the knee. The knee. And then he said, after he mentioned all those diseases, he said, and all diseases, even those not mentioned. So nothing's overlooked. I don't care what its name is. I don't care if you have an old name, a new name. Now, my grandmother, I got to hurry. She wanted 3 S's tonic. Do y'all know 3 S's tonic? Oh, I hope not. I hope you never heard of that. Anybody know 3 S's? Okay. She had to have that. And so we couldn't find it anywhere. She didn't drive. It may be hereditary that I don't drive. It was accidental, actually. And so I said, you know, Wayne, there's this old drugstore downtown Winter Haven. We go down there. If anybody has old medicines, that man does. So we went down there and I said, do you have 3 S's tonic? He said, we have that. I thought, oh, hallelujah. 3 S's tonic is related to a death sentence. It's very strong. And my grandmother was so excited to get that. And I won't even tell you what those S's stood for, but I was not excited. But she was excited. She was dependent on the medicine. She didn't know Jesus would heal her. She's dependent on the old medicine that she knew as a child. One lady told me her daddy raised horses, and he gave the horses castor oil, and out of the same bottle he gave anybody that coughed in his household castor oil. Same castor oil he gave to the horses. And he was dependent on that. But see, you need to update your medicine list. And your medicine list says, by Jesus' stripes, you were, that's the list. That's the entire list. It's amazing. And then it says, who heals all your diseases? Don't let anybody talk you out of that. They said, God doesn't heal today. Or, you know, sometimes God only does certain things and it's not his will to do that. That's a lie. It's just a lie. Who redeems your life from destruction? That covers a lot of territory. You can use that as your hurricane verse. Who crowns thee with loving kindness and tender mercy. God's always merciful. If he refuses to heal, I'm not healing you, okay? I'm not doing it. It's like God picks and chooses. Yes, you, no, not you. He heals every disease. He heals, he forgives every sin. He redeems you from every destruction. And he always pours out tender mercy. And then the next verse says, he satisfies you, your mouth with good things. That's coconut cake. I'm sure that's what that meant. And he renews your youth. So you don't have to be old and look old. We can't stop old. But we can walk in the strength of youth. We can walk in the strength of youth. It's paid for. It's provided. That's what death and resurrection did for you. That's what, and when you only talk about death, you're not giving the completion of the story, nor accenting the final glorious results of death and resurrection. Forgiveness, remission, peace, healing, strength, mercy.